Want to keep enjoying flights but neutralize the impact on the environment? Every time you book a flight directly with App in the Air, they plant a tree. Their app even has a CO2 calculator and lets you offset your flights while earning points at CODA's travel purchases. Check out the app for free by using the link in the show notes and get 20% off of your next flight when you book directly through App in the Air by using the code GeoBreeze at checkout. Thank you to App in the Air for partnering with this episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. Welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast, a show for anyone wanting to level up their travel hacking lifestyle. I'm your host, Julia Menez. I'm a travel hacker, coach, speaker, Filipino-American ENTJ who loves solid travel gear and using shortcuts on spreadsheets. On this show, I'm on a mission to bring you travel hackers from all walks of life to help you level up your travel hacking game. We dive into credit cards, miles, points, strategy, mindset, and the secrets behind how to travel the world for next to no cost. So let's get hacking.
And that was the first time in forever that I was able to just detach from work. I mean, I quit my job and just being able to like not do work and just fully immerse myself in taking that time off. I want to emphasize that mental health and wellness is very important and should be prioritized. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to go on a sabbatical, because, you know, burnout is super real and needs to be acknowledged. And taking that time off for everyone, whether it be a week or a month or just even a couple of days, is really important. And so that was that trip for me, was Guam. Was like, okay, I quit my job, I'm making a change in my life. And not so much that I was like, it was just a time in my life where I was like, if I never do this now, when am I ever going to do it kind of thing? Like, I have to do it now. It was just perfect timing because I didn't want to just go to Guam for like a week and then like have to work. It was just was not ideal.
Hey there, points people. You just heard a clip from Mary Chris Palantinos from Finesse Traveler. Mary Chris is a proud first-generation Filipina immigrant currently residing in sunny San Diego, California. Her first flight was when she moved to the U.S. and she didn't have the means to travel until she was older. Now she is a passionate traveler who loves to help aspiring jet setters reach their dream destinations for cheap. She is curating a community where we all share ideas and thoughts to not only be able to travel, but maximize the experience. In this episode, Mary Chris and I discuss her luxury trip to Guam and some of the best flight routes, resorts, and excursions if you are interested in visiting Guam yourself. If you are interested in getting started with award travel, one of the most popular starter cards is the Chase Sapphire Preferred, which can transfer points to many different partners mentioned in this episode, including United, Southwest, and Hyatt. Please be sure to use a friend or creator's referral or affiliate links whenever you get a new card. If you apply through Google, the banks get to keep that commission money, and the banks have enough money. If you are interested in supporting this show when you apply for your next card, check out geobreezetravel.com/cards. And now, on with the show. Hey, Mary Chris, welcome to the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast.
Hi, excited to be here.
I am excited to have you here and to hear all about Guam and how to travel there on points and what some of the best resorts are that somebody can book on points. Before we get into all of that, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into points and miles.
Yeah. And again, thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored and super excited to share everything and anything about travel hacking. So for me, I am a first generation Filipina immigrant. I came here actually when I was 9 years old with my immediate family. And that was actually my first flight ever, was like moving across the world here to a brand new place. And so from that, you know, I never, because we were immigrants, we never really had the means to fully travel. And I got a taste of that, or like caught the travel bug in college when I studied abroad. And it was one summer, so as an engineering major, it was really hard to fit that in being able to study abroad, but I like made it a goal to do so. And the abroad program was called the Grand Tour, and it was literally the act of traveling and learning about what the 18th century men did back then to travel and like learn. That was their way of education, was to travel. And so from that, we traveled all over Europe, and that was when I fell in love with traveling. Upon graduating after college, I started work right away, and I still remember my first trip afterwards of going to Brazil, and I paid full price for my flight, and I'm like, it hurt. And so,
how much was it?
I think it was like $800. Like, I just got out of college, And being a newly graduate, I had $40,000 at least, $40,000 worth of student and car debt. And so I was like, this is not sustainable. Like, and how can I do this so that and still pay for, be able to afford and still be able to travel? And so my coworker or ex-coworker/cubemate told me all about it and how he did it all through college. And so living frugally with all the debts and still trying to save effectively for my retirement, emergency fund, HSA, and still wanting to live, you know, my best life to the fullest, I started to dive into it. And shout out to Dennis for opening this world up to me. I owe him so much. But from there, I told my boyfriend about it, now my fiance, and he was so into it too. Like, I feel like I'm very lucky that my partner was also into it, and we both researched and just got hooked into the game. And since then, you know, we were manufacturing spending, you know, I can't do that anymore. We were credit card turning, and we're still doing things, you know, that player one, player two game of making sure like we maximize all the deals and cards out there. And yeah, that's where it started. So like fast forward to now, I'm debt free. I was able to travel as much. Like people literally thought we were rich because we were traveling so much. But it's really because of the world of travel hacking, how I got to travel so much without breaking the bank and still be able to save as much as I can and really see the world for free or nearly free. And now I'm just got off my sabbatical of 7 months and I went on over 20 trips and using points and miles for all of them.
That is incredible. Where all did you go during your sabbatical?
Yeah, so the first trip was like, I went on right when a week after I quit my job with Guam. And we'll dive more into that later. And then I went to Mexico 3 times. And then a lot of like going around California and then in Arizona. And we also went to Canada as well. So I can't believe it flew by so fast, but I was doing so many trips. That is so nice. I want to highlight that obviously I was unemployed. I like to call it fun employed. And I was still able to go on it because of using points and miles because I didn't pay for any of them.
Yeah. What was kind of like the budgeting process? Was this sabbatical planned and how did you kind of budget for it and say like, okay, I need enough saved up in my emergency fund, my travel fund and everything to go 7 months without working before returning to work? How was that process?
So I did plan previously of making sure I had enough in my emergency fund to be able to do this. And my fiance was also still working. So that was also like that gave us that stability. So thank you to him. But I was still holding my own like on paying, you know, expenses and stuff like that. And so having enough in my emergency fund, and to be honest, like the only trip I had planned for my sabbatical was the Guam trip. Everything else kind of just came into fruition. I was like, okay, I want to do this next. I want to do this next, just like as I went. And then points wise, I just always have points. Like I made sure, especially before I lost my income, to apply. I think I applied to like four or five cards before my sabbatical. And so I had racked up on points too, as well as my fiance. And so I was just able to stabilize it that way.
What are some of the cards that you've gotten over the years, both at the beginning and then ones that you've liked to churn, ones that you've gotten recently? Tell us about your card strategy.
Yeah. So everyone's favorite beginner card, what is the Chase Sapphire Preferred, and that's actually my first one. And so like getting that and then referring my partner for all of those. So I even got like airline cards, like Alaska, American Airlines, this is starting off, and the Barclay card starting off too, where it was you get like $400 travel credit after a certain amount of spend. So that was actually one of our first really memorable redemption was a Maui trip. where we both got the Hyatt cards, and back then the sign up was so good. It was like you hit the sign up bonus and you get 2 free nights. So we each got 2 free nights, and then the fifth night was either free or we paid for that. So we got a 4 or 5 night stay in Maui at the Hyatt there, that was like, and got upgraded to like ocean view. We even flew first class. That was my first class experience through Alaska Airlines. And I remember being like, are we really doing this? But honestly, when we compared it back then to the economy versus the first class, I don't know what we did, but it wasn't that much of a difference. It was like a sweet spot. So we were just like, let's do it first time. And so that was free. And then even got a free like car rental and other travel spend because of that Barclay statement credit. So that was like one of our first biggest ones where everything was paid off, which felt amazing. And so from there, you know, getting the airlines. And then so this year, as mentioned, I got a couple cards. I actually applied for 6 cards this past year total. And so I got the Amex Platinum, Amex Gold. I even got the Chase Sapphire Preferred, like downgraded my old one and got a new one. So that's one of the ones that we like to turn a lot between me and my partner, the Chase cards, because the Amex you can't really turn once it's like a lifetime once you get it. So my fiance got the Amex Platinum like 2 years ago. So I got it this year. And then on top of that, I can't forget the Southwest Companion Pass. So I've had a Southwest Companion Pass for 5 years and counting. So we would take turns. So he would get it, and then I would then get it, and then he would get it, and then I would get it. So we're like in the second or third round now. I can't really keep track. And that's been a game changer for us, because flying, you go to Mexico, and flying to Mexico, buy one, get one free, or with taxes and fees, it's just so irreplaceable. And then I live in San Diego now. My family lives in the Bay Area. So just being able to fly I don't even think about the points anymore, because, and with the companion pass, it just makes life so much easier. So that's one of the things of like baskets, getting airline cards, getting some general travel cards, and definitely the hotel cards for sure too. Like one of my favorites is Hyatt. I've always had Hyatt since the beginning. And I didn't get to mention this, but I started in 2015. So just a year after college. So I've been doing this for some time, and just won't shut up about it.
I'm exactly the same way. You've gotten to do so many cool things in those years with your points and miles. So were there any mistakes that you made early on where you were like, oh, I wish I had not done that, or that you want to warn other people who might just be getting started with points and miles not to do?
There's cards that I keep open. I'm sure you do this, but I don't have an annual fee, so I just keep it open, right? And sometimes they'll have, they'll notify you like, hey, use it or it's going to get closed. And my longest card that I had is my Discover, and I completely got into my spam or something. So that closed, and it did hit my credit score a little bit, but it didn't hurt that bad. Like I got it up really well, but it wasn't, that's one of the things. Keep in mind those cards that you keep open that you don't use anymore, and make sure you have notifications or use them every couple months just so that it doesn't get closed. Because the longer you keep cards, the more they'll have an impact on your credit score.
Was your second oldest credit line also a no annual fee card, or were you still okay from your second oldest card?
Yeah, I'm still okay from my second oldest card. I think it was like a Bank of America that my mom also recommended for me to open. And it's like, this is me like not knowing, you know, what to get or open. And I think that was my last. I opened a Discover card, and then the Bank of America card that was just like general cash back. And then from there, that's when I like learned about the different credit card benefits and just took off from there.
If my oldest credit line gets closed down, I'm like screwed, because I opened that one when I was 18 for the same reason, just to build up credit. And then just had that. Made a couple of mistakes along the way where I opened some store cards that eventually got closed down due to inactivity, like the Limited or New York and Company and something. And then it was probably 10 years after I opened my first card when I got my Chase Sapphire Preferred, which was my first points and miles card. And so that first one goes away, and also that Chase one, I guess the credit line's still open because I downgraded it, but I would lose about 10 years of credit history. So yeah, I set reminders for myself to make sure I buy a piece of candy or something.
And I think I did have like at least like maybe 10, almost 10 years. And I was like, oh no. But it was, I can assure you, it wasn't that detrimental than we all think, because I guess I had all these other cards already too. And that was long too. But yeah, keep that in mind.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about this Guam trip. Give us all of the details. Tell us what you flew, how many miles it took, what hotels you stayed at, and how much you saved by doing this. Give us all of the details. Let's start with flights. What did you fly?
So we flew United. And when I say we, it's me, my sister, my fiance, and my parents. So it was a big family trip. And mind you, this was just right after things started opening. So literally when Guam said no more quarantine required, we were like, all right, let's book the flight. And we've been eyeing this because, so I have my brother in Guam and sister-in-law who lives there, and they had a baby, which is our first baby of the family during COVID. So we've been dying to see them and meet the baby finally, especially my parents being first-time grandparents. So to begin with, this was such an amazing like first trip to go to, and that was like, okay, we have to make this happen. And so once Guam lifted their restrictions, I already had kind of an idea, because United has like a monopoly going to Guam, where it's just United that flies there mostly. So most of the flights are all United. So I got the United card to help to earn the sign-up bonus, and Chase also transfers one-to-one to United. So that's also another way of us paying the points. So Guam flights are really expensive. They were like $1,500, give or take. And our flights actually just cost $70,000 round trip. So we were able to use points using Chase points and United points from the United Explorer card to pay for the flight. And it was just the economy flights. Have yet to experience international business travel. I'm one of those where, you know, I'm balling on a budget with travel hacking. And so I try to save as much points as I can, but I do splurge in different ways. And going on the business class international trip is one of my goals, especially also first class, you know, all of that is my goal. But for right now, especially for a big trip, we were trying to maximize as much of our points. So we booked all that through United.
Was it hard to find all of the seats on the same plane, since you were trying to find enough seats for 5 people on this award flight?
Actually, it wasn't. I think it was because it was still the start of things opening. I remember, so usually going to Guam, there's a flight, it usually has a layover either in Japan or Hawaii. And the Japan flights were empty just because they weren't even open yet. So at that time, it wasn't hard. And we did, my parents did took a different flight itinerary than us. So that made it easy too.
Oh, okay. So not all 5 of you were on the same flight.
Yeah, 3 of us, and then my parents flew at different times.
Were you covering all of the flights with your points, or did you get your family into this as well so that they could cover their own with their own points?
Oh, yeah. So my sister also does it. I'm like that person that won't shut up about it, like I said. So I try to tell everyone about it, especially if you're going on a trip with me. Like, I want to make sure you're maximizing your savings. So I always try to tell my friends all about it. I remember back then, it was so easy to hit spend with like, oh, I'll pay for the group expenses or the restaurants, and you can just Venmo me. And I love now with my friends and family, that's like, when we're trying to pay for a bill, like, okay, who's trying to earn a spend right now? And so it's like sharing the wealth, which I love. So I wanted to point that out. But yeah, so my brother also is into the points game and has points. So he was able to help with my parents as well as we use our own points for ourselves too. So it was like all combined. And luckily with United, you know, you can, and for Chase, you can book for other people.
Absolutely. And I know you guys didn't take any layovers to and from Guam, right? You just went straight there and straight back.
To stay in Hawaii, but it was still that time too where it was also complicated times. So we just didn't want to risk it and just like wanted to get into the destination. I really wanted to stop in Japan and stay there. It was such a tease being at the airport and just like wanting to go outside because I've never been to Japan. It's one of my bucket list destinations, but no, not this time. It was just great.
One of the cool things about Guam, especially if you're flying on United, is you can use the excursionist perk, and there's something called the Island Hopper. There's actually a way to visit Guam and the Marshall Islands and Micronesia, like three different islands in Micronesia, and you can do like five different stops for 70,000 points if you structure your itinerary correctly. There's some different articles on it on the internet, but it's one of those bucket list things for me one day is just to visit all of these different islands and layer on United excursionist perks and Island Hopper stuff. So one day. If you are listening to this episode thinking, I wish I could travel like this, but I don't know where to start. I offer free credit card consultations by email at geobreezetravel.com/consultations. Additionally, I host a masterclass and group coaching session each month through the Patreon. We've also added a new Patreon feature. Once you've been in the Patreon for 12 consecutive months, I will gift you a vacation voucher to the city of your choice. I've also added an option to sign up for an annual membership. With this option, you will get two free masterclasses each year, and you'll get your vacation package voucher upfront. You can find more information about the vacation vouchers, consultations, and more in the show notes. This week's Patreon shout-out goes out to Jamie. Thank you so much for being part of the GeoBreeze Travel Patreon community.
Oh, I love that. So have you been to any of those islands or like in Guam?
I have not. I've been to the Guam airport on the way to the Philippines once upon a time when I was maybe 14 or so.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But I've never actually gotten to step out of the airport. So tell us a little bit about what happens when you step out of the airport. What are the resorts like? What's Guam like in general for people who've never been there?
The island is so tiny. You can literally drive around it in a day or less. But I love that so much for me because, so I love all types of travel. I can be in an island, I can do absolutely anything, be at the beach all day, or I can go to a city and just explore and walk 6 miles per day. So I really value and appreciate all types of travel. And Guam is super beautiful, and want to highlight that, and really untouched. So I would compare it to Maui, but even smaller. And this was a time when there were so many people visiting Hawaii because it just opened up. And I would see people's videos of like everything being so busy. Like I'm like, dang, that doesn't even look relaxing. And then here, because they just opened in Guam, we were sometimes the only ones on the beach. It was so nice. So they were just starting to open up and really jump back into the tourism. But even then, I asked my family there and they said that Guam is never really packed. So me and my sister were talking about it. We're like, we kind of liked it for our experience better than Hawaii because it was just so remote and so relaxing and it wasn't busy. People drove 30 miles per hour or less, even less. And so the resorts there are just, it's like I said, it's small. So it's just all in front of this one beach called Tumon Bay. And so most of the resorts are just pretty much ocean front with beach access. And how we picked our first hotel was obviously we have locals that to give that recommendation to us. And so the first resort we stayed at is Dusit Tani. It was so beautiful. Oh my gosh. It was like, okay, we can't go. Why are we leaving? We can't leave. And this one, I utilized my Amex Platinum benefits and points. So I opened Amex Platinum. The Dusit Tani is a fine hotel collection. And so with Amex Platinum, you get $200 off or $200 statement credit. Then you get like $100 usage for there as well, like using at the restaurant at while you're staying there. And I think it cost us like $2,000 total for the 3 days. And I even got an upgrade for like going on a higher floor. I mean, all of them are oceanfront, so it's just like going higher or lower. I always opt for a higher floor for the better views. Yeah, so I think the points was like 90,000 Amex for the stay, and we saved well over $2,000. That was the first day.
So you spent 90,000 points instead of $2,000. How did you apply the fine hotels and resorts to? Did you pay for like one or two days with regular money, the FHR, and then the rest of it on points, or how did you kind of structure it?
Yeah, I think I did, that I can get the $200 off. You're able to choose how much you can pay. So I just made sure I paid up to how much the 200 threshold, and then I got the $200 back as when I paid that with cash, and then got the $100 credit that we could use at the hotel restaurant there. And then it's also guaranteed 4 p.m. late checkout. What else? There's so many different benefits. Yeah, breakfast for two for free every day. And it was nice because then we could just switch. Like, I let my parents use it, you know, the whole time. And then the last day when they left, it was like us. So it wasn't like restricted on who's using it. And it was just a beautiful hotel, beach access, the views for every room was just like impeccable. And then the hotel was just beautifully designed. And the spa there was one of the best spa experiences I've ever had, but maybe because I don't do spas a lot. But I remember making a note to myself, like, man, I need to do this for my self-care. So after doing the spa day in Susitani, which I highly recommend doing if you ever stay there, I was like, this needs to be part of my wellness routine. It was so nice. And it was cheaper too. Like, just things were cheaper there. You think it is expensive, like food-wise, things, it's still an island, so they have to have the import costs and whatnot, but everything else was pretty cheap.
Did you book multiple rooms since your parents were there too, or did you just have a suite for all of you? What was
Yeah, we had like a little suite for all of us, and because I booked it for three or four nights when my parents only stayed for two nights, and then like my fiance only stayed for two nights. Like, we weren't like crammed in at the same time in here and there. We were like going in and out. So, yeah.
Cool. What was the next resort?
The next one was the Hyatt Regency. So there was a really nice Hyatt hotel there too, and it was only 20,000 points per night. So I transferred Chase points to Hyatt. I always recommend to check both what it is in the Chase portal and what it is directly through Hyatt. And more than usually, Hyatt is always cheaper. So you can transfer one-to-one Chase points to Hyatt. And that's where we stayed for the next two nights. Not next, but like the following weekend. And for me, since I was staying, actually, for any stay, like in the upgrades, so, you know, I always ask for upgrades. Like, if they didn't have anything available, I would say, okay, if you have something like tomorrow. So that actually happened for our next stay. But for Hyatt, they put us in a room and they were able to change it because I didn't like it. So I just kind of got asked to upgrade.
So you started out in one room and then we're like, hey, is there something available the next day? And then you just switched rooms the following day to a better room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you have status with Hyatt?
I'm just a discoverist. So I do, but not a globalist, which I'm still trying to attain. I think I had it a couple years back, but now that you're talking about status for hotel, I remember I did reach Marriott Platinum Elite. And this one, I was able to attain because I traveled a lot for work. And so staying loyal and racking up those nights for work at a hotel is like a game changer. And so being able to use the Platinum Elite benefits, like free breakfast and, you know, guaranteed upgrades, late checkout and stuff like that, I've definitely gotten to utilize that benefit for hotel status. But for this one, the Hyatt was really nice too. It was just a little smaller hotel. Like, mind you, all these resorts are right in front of the ocean, right in front of like beach access. But for Dusit, this one was like just guaranteed beach access. The third one was Tsubaki Tower. So we booked that directly through Chase points because it was just, it's their newest hotel in, on Guam. And it really felt like it was new, like everything architecturally, decoration wise was super brand new and really intricate, which I really enjoyed. But this one, it didn't have direct beach. So it was just a beautiful infinity pool overlooking the ocean. And this was another time where we were staying for 4 days and they didn't have an available room that was a more upgraded room. And so the next day we were moved to a more upgraded room, highest floor, without having to pay extra. And I honestly can't recall how many Chase points it was, but it really wasn't that much, probably like 15 or 20,000 points a night through Chase and getting a free upgrade at that. And so easily each of these, I mean, in total with all our flights plus all the hotel stays, like at least saving $10,000 with all the hotel points and flying. And Tsubaki Tower, like I mentioned, was the newest one. And so we really loved it. Like it was beautiful. All their rooms were like beautiful suites. It's just a matter of like how high you are for the upgrades. And the staff was really phenomenal. They even offered tea, like free tea time, where they gave you like tea and then all like the little small hors d'oeuvres. They had a light show on the pool every 2 hours, so like 7 p.m., 9 p.m., 11 p.m. And it was just like, you can see it from your room or from the hotel. And it was just like a full on light show with water and everything. It was a whole shebang. It was awesome. That was our last one. So it was really nice to end the trip with that. Just like, wow, we're living so nicely, like this luxury life and just catering to that luxury life. And I don't know if I mentioned this, but being able to just spoil my family and parents is irreplaceable. Like I just love that, even taking them to like the lounges and stuff. So I do mention that my sister does it, but you know, not to the extent that we have. Like we have lounge access and stuff like that, me and my fiance. So it's just so nice to see their reaction when we bring them to these nice hotels and that they don't have to worry about paying, and then having lounge access too. And even like global entry, I have multiple cards. I don't know if you do this, where there's global entry credit. And so like I already have it. So I give it to my parents because now they have global entry and they're so thankful because they just hate waiting in that line. and also my sister too, right? I have her, given her my global entry. So
what would you suggest for anybody who's looking for excursions in Guam outside of the resorts? Since it's such a small island, is there a lot to do?
First thing is, if it's your interest to get your scuba diving license and you have the time to, I would highly recommend it there. I got it through the Micronesia Divers Association on the island, and it will cost like $300, which is insane compared to here. I think it costs like $700 or more to get certified. So the diving there is so beautiful because the water is so warm. It's clear waters, and then they have a bunch of shipwrecks to dive to. Like we dove to an American tanker, and it was just like, oh my gosh, it's like Titanic. Like you're just swimming in this huge like ship that's just here for so many years. So that was cool. And then, like I said, so I actually have a friend there that's also a local, plus my brothers, and so it's really just knowing hikes. There's just a bunch of hikes because there's jungles in between the island and like waterfalls. So like I said, we could drive around the whole island in like half a day and then stopping along the way of like viewpoint and hikes that you can do. Sometimes there's really not, it's not a hike or a trail, but people have found it. So that's one thing to know. In Guam, there are no trails. It's just people know that there's a hike there that you'll know about from word of mouth. And really everything is super chill. And I also love the food. So I don't know if you've ever had Chamorro food before.
Nope.
I would call it like mix of Filipino food and Hawaiian food, but also Guam and like Japanese food. And so that's really cool to learn about the different cultures, especially Chamorro culture. So they have national parks there, actually, a U.S. national park. So they have historical national parks or deemed historical national parks. So visiting that too and learning about the war in the Pacific, that's what the national park is called, because that's such a rich history of Guam, right? Of the war in the past. And yeah, just really beach all day. Relaxing in the beach all day. And like I said, I can do both adventure and hike all day, but also I can lounge for as long as I can at the beach and swim. And Guam has one of the most beautiful waters, and Tumon Bay, is, I love it so much because the reef goes so far out that the water is so calm for miles. And so you could just chill at the beach, not worry about the waves or anything like that. It was so nice. And then snorkeling too. Yeah, I just did all kinds of water things. Honestly, we did snorkeling. We had a boat tour. We did banana boat riding. We saw dolphins. And there's just so much rich marine life there.
Now it's definitely on my bucket list. I want to rinse all of the things that you just talked about. With all of the knowledge that you have amassed from this Guam trip and also just travel hacking in general, what would you say is your number one piece of advice for people who are looking to get more into points and miles?
Yeah, I think travel is for all, and it should be experienced by everyone, especially those not privileged enough to do so, like how I was growing up. So I think that's why I started my Instagram, you know, at Finesse Traveler, to share how we can all travel more for less. Like, I loved helping people and opening their eyes to this world, and I'm sure you're the same way. And so that's why I advocate so much for it and provide all the tips and hacks and inspiration so that it's more attainable for all. Traveling is truly one of my passions, but in addition, is also helping people. It really blows my mind when I hear people paying full price with their debit cards for their travels. Like, I honestly, like, I remember that one Brazil trip I paid full price and I never looked back. And it's just so that I talk about my travels to my friends and loved ones, and I want them to reach this world and see this world and literally see the world, experience the world. And one of the things for that is really just getting started. And, you know, don't be so skeptical about it or wait for the perfect time to do so. Start slow, you know, get one card. Don't get intimidated by it, because it is intimidating. There's so much information out there, but for this world, really, the more you know, the more you're able to take advantage of all the different deals and ways to, you know, live that ballin' on a budget life. And so really, it's just that, it's just sharing the wealth of and knowledge of it and taking advantage of it, because the travel industry, you know, makes a lot of money and it's so expensive. And so that's why I feel like we can take advantage of the different deals and different hacks, because it's just not attainable for everyone, but it is attainable through all these different hacks and stuff. And, you know, people ask me, like, why don't I just travel like a normal person? Like, why do I do all this work? Because it is a lot of research, you know, and that's what I say, where it can get intimidating, because the more you know, the more you can take advantage. But it's like, why would I do that when I can spend just like one more hour researching or getting a card and earning the bonus, when with just spending the way I'm going to spend anyway? It's like being paid to spend. Never spend more than what you earn, and never carry an interest or a balance and pay interest. Like, I have been lucky enough that I've been disciplined enough to not do that. And I think that was also because of my upbringing of, like, credit cards are bad. Like, don't let it take advantage of you. But in this way, we're taking advantage of it. And I love that. So that we can experience more and experience the world and maximize our travels. And so for that, I love sharing my knowledge of being able to finesse our travels.
That is fantastic advice. And speaking of great advice, can you give shout outs to other people on the internet that you would recommend listeners check out for awesome points and miles tips?
To be honest, you know, the travel hacking community is so incredible. You know, I've learned so much. I started my travel Instagram so that I can teach and help people, but I never really knew how much more I'm going to gain from it. I mean, it's been a blessing to teach, but also to learn so much from each other and from the community out there. It's keeping me so much more informed. And I definitely want to highlight the women in the travel hacking world, especially in the travel industry. Just like, I feel like from so long, from this 18th century, when I was learning and I studied abroad, no woman was traveling back then. And so I want to highlight the women in here because I want to have that representation. And Janelle on a Jet has been really catching my eye, especially on TikTok. Like, she's killing the game in the travel hacking world on TikTok there, on not just points and miles, but also hacks on Google flights and finding cheap flights and hotels. And so shout out to her.
Awesome. And where can we find you on the internet to teach us about traveling as well?
So I'm on Instagram and TikTok at Finesse Traveler. And that's about it.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, Mary Chris, for coming onto the show today. I had no idea there was so much to do and see in Guam. I'm definitely adding it to my bucket list now. We'll see if I can figure out an island hopper on the way there or on the way back. But the resorts that you talked about sound absolutely amazing, and everybody should go check out Guam.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode of the GeoBreeze Travel Podcast. If any of the cards mentioned in today's episode piqued your interest, please check out the links in the show notes for more information on any of the cards. Also, if you apply for a card using the links on that page, I may receive a commission too, so please and thank you. P.S. I hear the links work better in Internet Explorer or Safari, and sometimes the credit card applications tend to glitch out in Chrome. Additionally, it would mean the world to me if you could subscribe to this podcast, leave a 5-star review, and share it with a friend. And if you would like to make even more travel hacking friends, please sign up for the Patreon to access our monthly masterclass hangouts. We dive deep into a particular points program each month, and you'll get to ask all of your travel hacking questions and enjoy being around other people who enjoy points and miles just as much as you and I do. If you would like an invite to the next one, head over to geobreezetravel.com/hangouts to sign up to be on the invite list. Take care and happy travels!